Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. Happy Purim. This is it. Purim Sameach. This is the day. Yes, indeedy. In this half hour of the show, in addition to all the Purim music and fun that we're going to have, we have Mr. Ethan Davidson, who is the organizer of the Ethan Davidson Music Festival at the JCC, coming up in West Bloomfield. It's Purim. We're going to talk about Purim. We have lots of Purim music. The story is going to be about Purim, an amazing Baal Shem Tov story about Purim. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Leaders of JCCs around the country sent a letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions requesting a meeting. They want the Justice Department to do more to stop the threats and curtail anti-Semitism. This follows 5 more bomb threats to JCCs this week, making the total 146 since January. A new app will allow users to report suspicious activity and receive security warnings on their smartphones. The app is called Jewish Security Application and is now available for iPhones and Androids. More than a dozen gravestones were toppled in the Washington Jewish Cemetery in Brooklyn. It was the third time in 3 weeks such occurrences have occurred. The NYPD Hate Crimes Unit is leading the investigation. In some discerning news, actually did get something in about Israel today. The Sea of Galilee, Israel's main reservoir, is at its lowest level in a century after northern Israel received the driest February, experienced the driest February ever. The Kinneret, as it's called, is 20 centimeters below the line experts consider acceptable for water quality. It's all that silt and stuff. And finally, here's some interesting news. Israel opened the 2017 World Baseball Classic with a 2-1 victory over Korea in Seoul, and then went on to beat Taipei and the Netherlands to win Division A of the World Baseball Classic. They won the first round. Whoa! Israel now moves on to the second round this week in Tokyo, and that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are having a happy Purim online. we have Mr. Ethan Davidson, who, together with his wife, Gretchen, are the proponents of the Ethan and Gretchen Davidson Music Festival going on at the end of this month at the JCC. How are you, Ethan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thank God. Thanks for coming on. Okay, so it just seems like kind of like a natural. There's always been, like forever, the book fair at the JCC. And then recently we've had the Marvel Film Festival. And so now we've got a music festival. So tell us about it and your impetus and why you're involved with it, Ethan.
Well, what happened is a couple of years ago there was the Gottlieb Festival, and Gretchen and I were asked to play that, it must have been 3 years ago or something. And then they, you know, the Gottlieb family wanted to move on from that. I'm not sure the details. And then we were approached by the JCC to see if we wanted to take that on for a couple of years. So, you know, Gretchen and I thought, we want to keep this music festival going, and we would be happy to be the custodians of it for a couple of years here, and then you know, maybe pass it on to somebody else or keep going with it. We don't know what we're gonna do when it comes to that point. But the festival is happening at the end of this month, March 23rd through 26th, at the JCC in West Bloomfield, and it's going to bring together musicians from all different styles of music. So I think there's going to be something for everybody.
That's so cool. Okay, so now the focus of the book fair is to highlight Jewish authors with an emphasis on local Jewish authors and books that were composed that year. The film festival there's a big heavy influence on Israeli films and Holocaust films. And then again, local, if there were any local films that were produced and Jewish content, what's the focus of the Ethan and Gretchen Davidson Music Festival, Ethan?
Well, it's just, it's going to, you know, kind of keep arts and music, you know, alive in some small way in the Jewish community, and hopefully have another opportunity for people to gather together and have a little bit of fun. And so really it's just to bring people from, you know, all the different musical genres together. We're going to have folk artists, rock artists. There's going to be, of course, klezmer. I mean, it can't be a Jewish music festival without a little bit of klezmer music. So we're going to have that as well. And nostalgia music, I guess, is what they're calling it, which I take to mean, you know, could be anything from musical theater type stuff to doo-wop, but, you know, your grandmother's music. So
Whatever makes you feel nostalgic.
What's that?
Whatever makes you feel nostalgic, I guess, in nostalgia music.
Whatever makes you feel nostalgic, right, exactly. Well, you can't have a Jewish music festival without something to make your Jewish grandmother happy, right?
Okay, so let's talk about the parameters for your choices. This is one of those questions that come up. We play music, and it even says on my website, Jewish music of all genre. So I have certain criteria that it has to be something, quote unquote, called Jewish music, not just music that was played by a Jew. I've never played any Bob Dylan. And the only Fiddler on the Roof I ever played was a Temptations version of If I Was a Rich Man on the show, because that's just too kitsch. You know? So it's actually pretty wild. But so what is the criteria for choosing artists for the music festival, Ethan?
What's the criteria there? Well, I think most of them are probably Jewish, but we didn't. Bob Dylan was unable to attend this year, so we're not going to be playing any Bob Dylan either, as it turns out. But he wanted to come, but you know, it's a scheduling conflict or something, right? Mm-hmm. What's the criteria? I'm not sure that that there is, you know, anything necessarily, you know, I'm sure some of the, well, when Gretchen and I played before, certainly not everybody in our band is Jewish. So, that's not, necessarily a thing, but listen, we want people that are going to, be able to turn on the audience and to you know, hopefully have people have a good time. So I'm not sure that there's much more science to it than that.
Okay, so now it also says, I'm looking at the website, which is the JCC.org Arts, Culture, Education, Ethan, Gretchen, Davidson, MusicFestival.com. It's a lot to put on one thing, but if you go to the JCC, if you go to the JCC website, there'll be a page for it. That'll come up right on their homepage. But the so it says you're going to have an artist market. Could you explain what that's all about?
The artist market? That'll be... you know, people that I think are, you know, also visual artists and, you know, that sort of thing, and be an opportunity to buy artwork and you know, that will, you know, support the artists, but also support our wonderful JCC out there in West Bloomfield. So you'll have a lot of people that are, you know, making, you know, different crafts or fine art and that sort of thing. So it's a full sensory experience, I guess you can say.
Uh-huh. Eyes and ears, yes. And mouth, too. I
noticed eyes and ears.
I noticed there's food. You can't have a Jewish event without food, you know, so it just goes with the turf. We call it gastro-Judaism. So,
yeah.
So your interest in music is actually an interesting story in and of itself. You came to the Jewish Ferndale a month ago and played for us at our second coffee house that we have, our second Third Thursday, even though it was on a Saturday night, but we still called it Third Thursday. Could you tell us about yourself and your interest in folk music?
Well, I guess I have to start with I was lucky enough to go to a high school, public high school back in the 1980s that had not only orchestra and jazz band, but had rock and roll band, which they didn't call it that. It was called the Crisco Band, but it was a school-run R&B band, basically, that was headed up by an English teacher. And I was, you know, sort of one of these... problem students, I guess you could say, but this English teacher took me under his wing and he said, look, if you'll, he said, I know you're interested in reading, you just have to read the, you know, the books that are assigned in the class. And if you'll do that, you can play in the rock band.
Oh, that he stuck a carrot in front of you.
What's that?
He stuck a carrot in front of you and just dangled it there in front of you and said, wow. Okay.
Exactly. So I played for 2 years in the Crisco band. This teacher's name was Bill Chrisman. He's still in the community, and but you know it goes to show you what a great teacher can do for a kid, because I think as a result of you know, his interest as a teacher, I was able to get it together as a student. And of course, I ended up going to a good university. But also, he taught me how to be in a band and, you know, how to work with others in that way. And so, I can thank him for both, you know, getting a college degree and also this crazy life as a musician. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of years on the road as a professional musician, and there was a time I had my records available in stores around North America and Europe. Not that anybody ever bought any, but they were
they were there.
And you know, I spent many, many years on the, I would do about 150 shows a year.
Wow.
And I had a tour that ran for 6 years and went all over the place. So.
That's awesome. So after 150 shows a week for 6 years, you got burnt out from doing that, Ethan?
Well, what happened is my father was getting older, and he was thinking about, you know, what he wanted to do next. And one of the things was to start a family foundation that could carry on his philanthropic legacy. So he started the William Davidson Foundation. And I thought, you know, I'll come back to Detroit for a year and help him out with that. You know, he had asked me to come help with the establishment of that. So, but that year that I thought I would be back here has turned into 12 years, and since gotten married and had a couple kids, and Detroit has become my home again. You know, the music thing is, I always tell people this, it's most people try to turn their music hobby into a profession. I seem to have turned my music profession into a hobby, but that's not all bad. That's not all bad. So we do a couple shows a year. We play at Jewish Ferndale and have a lot of fun down there. And that's what we do these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's this is awesome. So if you could you give us like, who do you have, like, in with the other festivals, the book fair and the film festival, there's mm-hmm. like, a big draw attraction. There's like the author of the year or the film of the year. Do you have a, the or artist of the year for the music festival, Nathan Davidson?
Well, I think that, James Stone's, Folk Life is one of the big things that you'd see at the music festival this year. Jim Stone has been written about in you know, music and arts magazines in the different cities around the U.S. and Canada, and it's a sort of I guess Appalachian dance tunes, kind of, you know, pretty uplifting, good time music. Let's call it that. So, that'll be a good show. And, we've got also, one of my favorites, who's a local guy I've gotten to know over the years, Freddie Wiskerson, who, is, going to be DJing on a couple of the nights. And, he's also, a folk musician in his own right, but you know, I'm not sure if he's going to be doing that as much as he's going to be doing the DJing. But if you don't know Freddie, you should know Freddie. He is he's one of the finest individuals, Jewish folk singers out there playing in this community, and he's also happens to be a great DJ. So you'll have fun with that if you come out.
Yeah, we actually used Freddie as a DJ. We used Freddie. I'm sorry to interrupt. We used Freddie as a DJ for our Purim last year, and he was just way over the top. Everybody was just like amazed. Aside from the fact that he came in costume, it was also like way out there too, which was added to the fun. Go ahead. I continue. I'm sorry.
No. That he's a great guy, and I'm sure that. I'm sure you had a lot of fun with him. I should say that the one of the klezmer bands we have is Gollum. The name sounds scary, but you know, I'm sure they're nice guys. So, but they're a klezmer rock band, and so you know what that is. But that's a high energy show. So, those are, I think, some of the. Some of the highlights, but the schedule is all, you know, it's chock full of really high quality performers. So I think everybody's going to have a good time.
Okay, cool. So tell us about the format of how is it going to be? Are people going to be like sitting in the Burman in seats, you know, with their hands folded on their laps for most of these? Are these like concerts? Are we talking about like coffee house type things? You know, if you ask a person under 30 years old about a coffee house, they think you're going to Starbucks. Yeah. You know, so they don't know the word coffee house, so I don't know what we call these things now. Or is it going to be like laid back? Are we having discos? Are we having dancing? How is it going to be? How are we doing this, Ethan?
Well, you know, I think I hope for the parts of it that are in the Burman that people aren't just sitting there with their hands folded in their laps, and you know, I mean, we're Jews, so you know, we don't have to you know, always be about decorum. If the music is high energy, I hope that people will be. You know, I hope that people will be dancing in the aisles, right? So that's what we want, right? And So, and I think some of the other performances they have will be outside of the Berman Theater. And so, you know, it'll be a variety of experiences there, and a variety of locations out there at the West Bloomfield JCC. So, some more formal, some less so, but you know, we want people to have a good time.
Anything for the kids? Any kiddie concerts?
Anything for the kids? I have to look through the schedule. I'm sure that there are, but you know, some of the I think that the music will be high energy enough that the kids will be also entertained. So, mm-hmm. You know,
kiddie concerts are usually, they're okay for the kids, but not for the parents. They're like sitting there saying, "Okay, I'm enjoying my kid watches, but I'd rather not be here." So that's a tight translation of a kid concert, you know. So,
right.
Okay, yeah. So that's yeah. Any. Let's give the website again. That would be go to the JCC website, mm-hmm. And on the homepage they have the festival, which is March 23rd through March 26th. There's just full regalia of concerts, and to get the schedule of the concerts, that's a different website. That's theberman.org, T-H-E for the and Berman, B-E-R-M-A-N.org, which is a theater, which is the purveyor of this. And Ethan, we want to thank you so much for coming on, and appreciate it very much. Yeah. Have a happy and healthy Purim, and all good things over there. Keep singing, keep us informed.
To you too. Yeah, to you too as well. Have a happy Purim out there, everybody.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We are having a happy Purim. You want to check out the Berman schedule, theberman.org, for the schedule coming up on the 23rd through the 26th. Looks pretty cool. You know, listen, Anyway, so, got some Purim music for you. There is a special Purim treat, I would call it. I wouldn't call it a delicacy, no. It's a treat. It is, for all intents and purposes, a cookie. Yes, so here it is. We have this, it sounds really kind of funny. I heard a comedian say, you know, the whole deal about Purim is there's a guy who really wanted to perpetrate the worst Holocaust against the Jewish people. And the Jews, of course, survived. He didn't. And we celebrate by eating cookies. You know, but they're great cookies. I mean, you know, so what it is, it's a triangle-shaped cookie. And it has some sort of filling in the middle of it. So, like, you take the way to do it is you cut, like, a circle in the dough. And you put the blob of filling in the middle, and filling of your choice. And some people have gotten really weird with their fillings. The traditional ones, which means the ones that I grew up with, are poppy seed filling. Ooh. Prune, could live without. Apricot, okay. And then after that, people got really creative, so that we have things like chocolate frosting, lemon meringue. Nah, they don't do it. So these cookies are called Hamantaschen. And the word Haman is the antagonist in the story. And then there's a debate of which country you come from as to what Tash means. So if you come from Russia, so Tash means a hat. So these were Hummond's hats because he wore a three-cornered hat. If you come, say, from like the Middle East, and they do eat Hamantash in there too, so it's pretty universal. I mean, they probably started there and moved west. So a tash is a tooth. Evidently, this guy had like teeth like a shark or something. So, but song we have up for you is, of course, a parody, since this is Purim. Matt Risen is the artist, and the song is called Eating Hamantashen.
I'm eating all the bags, spending all the money that's inside of my pocket. I'm loving every year it's coming, eating Hamantashen.
So I walk into my shul, I'm like, yeah, right, there's a big box. I'm so pumped about these Hamantashens that I just bought. Put them in the fridge, I take out the ones with toffee. My thoughts are like, man, I could sure go for some coffee. Rolling dough, corners, three ovens to the best degree. Sisterhood baked, chocolate chip, it is the best for me. Likes the poppies best, you see, there's a jelly next to me. I probably gotta try this one to smell like it's a Hershey. But wait, those are 99 cents. Now there's one thing I can't admit, I gotta have that chocolate. And yes, I'm eating all of it, I'm drooling at the thought of it. I'll buy them by the dozens, doesn't matter what the cost it is. It's only $13, well yeah, that's a good bargain, sitch. I'ma eat your grandma's now, I'ma eat your grandma's now. No, for real, tell your grandma, I want some tashin right now. Mix oil with some water, and lots of sugar. Then put them tashin in, then take them out my tashin cooker. They had a tashin deal, I bought the tashin deal. Bought five to get one free, and then I got a free meal. Hello, hello, this prune one's for my fellow. Maybe I'll try a small bite, but then again, oh well, no. I can take last year's ones, take them out and sell those. People wouldn't notice, at least until the mold grows.
I'm eating all the bags, spending all the money that's inside of my pocket. I'm loving every year's coming, eating Hamantashen. And I'm eating all the bags, spending all the money that's inside of my pocket. I'm loving every year it's coming, eating Hamantashen.
What you know about Purim is the story in your noggin. What you know, Ahasuerus was a king that rocked. The king was digging, searched to find a new queen. Vashti was trash, so we had to find a treasure. Now Esther, she was rad, and the king thought she was something. But Esther, she was Jewish, but to the king, well, that meant nothing. King's best man, Haman, he's the bad guy. He was real evil, demanded bowing down for all the Jewish people. The plan be the man, he exterminate the Jews. See, he got the king to agree, hang the Jews for all to see. Then Vashti went to king, rep the Jews like none other. Achshverosh changed his mind and said, Haman, he's a sucker. Then Bigtan and Teresh make attempt at assassination. Mordechai's like, whoa, that's a dumb abomination. He heard about those acts from Mordechai the man, and he held a special peace, invited Haman, had a plan. Asked Haman how to repay to the closest of his clan. Haman thought it was he, so he said, do everything you can. You should put him on a horse and parade him all around. Dress him up in your clothes and let him wear your king's crown. So Mordechai was called and Haman hung in town. And the Jews ain't going nowhere, cause we're never backing down. Never backing down. Never backing down. Never backing down.
I'm eating all the bags, spending all the money that's inside of my pocket. I'm loving every year's coming, eating Hamantashen. That has three corners, so every year now we go.
Where we go?
We eat those tashins, yo, from the gift shop down the road. Hat has three corners, so every year now we go.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Coming up next, this is not a Purim song, it's just brand spanking new. What does that mean anyway, spanking new? Yes, you're just like, wow, I'm so excited. I know, okay. But this is Ellie Marcus, and the song is called Melech HaOlam, which means King of the World. Let's listen.
לפעמים קורים דברים מעט קשים ואין עוד כוח אל תיבהל תתבונן. יש כאן אחד יחיד ומיוחד, תמיד שומע, כל כך אוהב מכל הלב. ואפילו במקום הכי נמוך בעולם הוא קיים, ואפילו במקום הכי שפל שיש הוא מחיה את כולם. כי אין מקום פנוי ממנו ואין שום דבר שנעלם, כל כך מושלם. נופלים קמים וממשיכים בדרך, אין שום ברירה, רק נשארת בחירה. לבחור בטוב והמתוק וחלילה לא להפך, המציאות מסתירה את האמת. שאפילו במקום הכי נמוך בעולם הוא קיים, המקום הכי שפל שיש הוא מחיה את כולם. כי אין מקום פנוי ממנו ואין שום דבר שנעלם, כל כך מושלם. הכי שפל שיש הוא מחיה את כולם, כי אין מקום פנוי ממנו ואין שום דבר שנעלם, כל כך מושלם.
Or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800.
Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hey, Shulfinman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. It is Purim. Just in case you're interested, the portion of the week is the portion of Ki Sisa. It does have the story of the golden calf in it, and it can be found in chapter 30 and following the book of Exodus. But it is Purim today, and we are talking about Purim. Last night at Jewish Ferndale, we had a real rockin' time over there. We read the Megillah, hope for the crowd. We showed Moshe Chassid's animated film about the Purim story, ate lots of copious quantities of Hamantaschen. And we're getting ready for this afternoon, 5 o'clock at Jewish Ferndale. We'll have an authentic Italian dinner with a Megillah reading, and there is a charge of $25 for that. So you can come by if you're in the neighborhood at 1725 Pine Crest. Just kind of give me a shout-out if you're coming. We'll throw an extra piece of chicken in for you. Anyway, so in addition to that, what we need to do in addition to eating and hearing the Megillah is it is incumbent upon all Jews to give at least 2 donations to charity in the course of the day, during the daytime. And tonight, that would mean sometime before 7:15, I think, is when sun goes down, now that we're on the new clock. And also to give 2 gifts of food to at least 1 other Jewish person. That's called shalach manos, which means sending gifts of food. And that would include something which would have 2 separate blessings on them, meaning 2 different categories or types. So you could do like a piece of cake and a bottle of wine or some candy and some fruit, at least 2, or you can put them all together in a big basket and make everybody happy. There's a certain stylistic things that must occur when reading the book of Esther on Purim. One of them is the beginning of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, states, "And on that night, the king's sleep was disturbed, and he requested that the book of Chronicles be brought to him and read before him." That verse must be read louder and in a different pitch than the rest of the Megillah, as an emphasis about, and everybody does it, it's universal, as an emphasis that this is where the miracle of Purim occurred. There's a whole discussion, because if you just casually read the book of Esther, you think, yeah, so. You have a person who wants to kill the Jews. You got a smart dude who is Jewish, who doesn't want to get killed. And he does some very heavy lobbying between him and his niece, who happens to be the queen. And so they do this heavy lobbying bit, and they wind up getting the bad guy killed. And we party, filling it as the adage of the old joke that the basis of every Jewish holiday is, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat, which is true, so true here in the book with the book of Esther. We say that night he couldn't sleep. There is a tradition, Mordechai, because one of the reasons why the men of the Great Assembly did not want to canonize the book of Esther is because there's no mention of God in the book at all. And they say, you yourself said, it's no miracle. God didn't talk to anybody. God didn't tell Esther, go do this, or tell Mordechai, go do that. No, they did it by themselves. But there's a tradition that anytime it just says the king, without the word Ahasuerus, who is the king in the story, King Ahasuerus, it just says the king. So when it says the king, you can make it capital T, capital K, the king. And many Megillahs are written in a style such that the word the king is at the top of the page of every page. As an indication that, okay, God was in there, but he was, as her name suggests, Esther was not her name. Her name was Hadassah, like the famous Jewish women's organization, Hadassah. But her name was called Esther. That was her nom de guerre, because she took that on so no one should know who she was. The word Esther means hidden. So God himself was hidden in the book of Esther. It says one of the main reason why there was this decree of annihilation was because the Jews had become complacent. They were living in an exile. They were told that the exile was going to be only 70 years, and they would then be able to return back to Jerusalem and build a temple again. But listen, they had it really good. Nebuchadnezzar took really good care of the Jews. He didn't want to annihilate the Jews. He saw that the Jews are going to run his country. He had an 18-year-old Daniel in charge of the finances because he understood these guys can count. Whoa. These people have business acumen. These people are smart. I want to have them near me. And his successors, Belshazzar. Belshazzar made a big party, got himself killed when he had the writing on the wall over there in the book of Daniel. Because he wanted to welcome the Jews, that they're not going back to Jerusalem. And same thing also with Ahasuerus. The book of Esther starts with a big party. They made a 180-day party, celebrating the fact that the Jews were not going back to Israel because they all counted the 70 years wrong. And welcoming the Jews into the fold to be part of his Persian Empire. So everybody loved the Jews back then. So when Jews are loved, they feel loved. Hey, I want to stay. And they became complacent. And Jews had it good. They had 3 chariot garages. They had riverfront property on the Tigris and the Euphrates. Maybe some beachfront property on the Gulf over there. Their women were impeccably dressed with the latest haute cuisine, which had not yet been invented, the word haute. Their kids were in wonderful schools. What else did they need? And indeed, we see when Ezra went back and was given permission to rebuild the temple, 42,000 pioneers went back. That's how they're described. You know, the ideologues, they're probably all 22 to 28, you know, the ones with the small frontal development that said, yeah, I want to go make Israel, you know. But the majority stayed because they had it really good. Problem with Jews, when they get complacent like this and things are really good, Judaism sort of comes like second as a joke, which I'm not sure who the author of the joke was. This is a guy has having his first meeting ever in New York City. He's got a startup company. He's meeting a hedge fund. 9 o'clock in the morning, he's got this meeting. So what does he do? He takes the early morning flight, which arrives into New York at 8 o'clock. And not having been to New York before, he rents a car. Because what you do, you get to an airport, you go rent a car. His meeting's in Manhattan. He doesn't know that you don't rent a car if you have to go to Manhattan. So there he is. He's got this car, and it's like 8:45 for his 9 o'clock meeting, and he can't find a parking space. And he is just now sweating. He's just driving around block after block. So finally he says, it's like 8:55. He says, please, God, this means the world. You understand this. If you get me a parking space right now, I will give 50% of this deal to charity. As soon as he says that, a car pulls out. He pulls in. He says, never mind, God, I did it. I found it myself. So this is what happens to Jews, unfortunately, when things are going really well. So they had this decree hanging over their heads of annihilation. Nothing kind of wakes up a person more than just like a threat of annihilation. But it's a very interesting thing. Haman wrote into the decree that if any Jew gives up his Judaism, you're not allowed to kill him. Comes along now Mordechai, the protagonist in the story, the hero. What did he do? Is he gathered children together, lots of children, and he taught them. He made a huge kids rally And he got them all involved and excited. Yes, we're going to keep kosher, and we're going to keep Shabbos, and we're going to do the mitzvahs. And then he said to them, now, boys and girls, go back and tell your parents what you learned today. And so now the kids come back and they started kvetching. Okay, the worst thing that a child could tell their parent, if you're Jewish, is, Mom, I'm not eating in your house anymore. It's not kosher. Hey, this lady, this mother is going to lose her spleen. She's going to be so worried. My child is going to starve. And so what do the mothers do? They koshered their kitchens. They made kosher homes. The father, the kids, listen, Dad, I want to go to synagogue on Friday night, and I want you to take me, and I want you to make Kiddush Friday night. I don't want you hanging out at the clubs or doing whatever people were doing back then on Friday nights. And the kids are mooching enough, so listen, okay, I'll do it. And what happened was there was this tremendous revival of Judaism. And it says, exile, it says the Almighty is kind of like asleep. We don't see the Almighty, not like in the temple where it says there were miracles happening on such a basis that they couldn't even write them down. The miracles were so much. The Jews are in exile. We don't get miracles. God's kind of like got one eye closed. He's like taking a nap, so to speak. It says, but this, when all these people came and rededicated themselves, it says it right there in chapter 9 of the book of Esther, and said, no, we want to do this because we want to do it. Not like back when they got the Torah and the mountain was hung over their head and they said, okay, we'll take Judaism because we don't want you to drop the thing on our heads. They said, we're willingly going to accept Judaism. That then disturbed the king's sleep. And the king, being the Almighty, then said, okay, time for me to step in. And indeed, when the book of Chronicles, the king's diary, was brought before him, they opened up at random a story of how Mordechai saved the king's life. And not only that, he said, okay, tell me another story. So they opened up again, a random. And what was there? The story of how Mordechai saved the king's life. And they did it a third time. So finally the king said, you know, I don't think I ever did anything for Mordechai. So they said, you never did anything. Haman comes in, he has the whole thing, he wants to kill the Jews. Sorry, not happening. And the rest is history. So the bottom line is over here that Purim is a time not just for frivolity. No, in fact, it says in the books, Purim is not a time for frivolity. It says that if a person, it's about people drink on Purim. And we drink till we don't know the difference between blessing and cursing is what it says. It's a lot of alcohol there. But it also says that if a person thinks that they won't be able to control their behaviors, no excuse just because you're drunk, it would be better if the person had a glass of warm milk and went to sleep to fulfill the difference. Because if you're asleep, you don't know the difference between blessing and cursing. So we do things and we do it in a Jewish way. We do it with responsibility. And we're doing it to serve the Almighty. And this is our celebrating and our festivity and our happiness, and the happiness we wish people a Purim Sameach, a happy Purim. But the happiness doesn't just stop tonight when the sun goes down and Purim is over, because there's a rule. Purim can fall in any one of 2 months in a leap year. And we say that it always falls in the month closer to Passover because we want to be mismach geula legeula. We want to have in proximity the redemption of Purim with the redemption of Egypt. And in between that, between now and then, we could have the final redemption, that with the righteous Mashiach coming, and then we'll really see what it means to have a happy Purim. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Shul Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way to do it is rabbifinman.com. You'll find there at rabbifinman.com a way to contact us. You'll find archived editions of the radio show. You'll find archived editions of other media in which we present Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. You'll also find the very important donations page. We're current, thank God. People came through. Last month, we were 3 months behind. Now we're current. It's March, and we could pay March because this is our 21st year. March is our anniversary month, and we always do our quote-unquote membership drive. Become a member of the Jewish Hour for $36, a one-time membership for the year, and we will send you a CD of a Jewish genre of Jewish music, and you tell us what genre you'd like and your CD to be. We have always used the eclectic assortment that we have here at the Jewish Hour. We'll be sending one of those to you, and thank you so much. We were at the post office this last Thursday. I get to go to the post office on Thursday. So if you sent it in on rabbifinman.com, on, like, say, for example, today, it won't be sent out till Thursday, but don't fret. It will be sent out, God willing, on Thursday. If you don't like internet giving, understand, send it to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48237. And if you're at the computer already, check out Jewish Ferndale. See what's happening, jewishferndale.com. What's happening over there? You will be glad you did. Okay, the following story involves the Baal Shem Tov. There was a follower of the Baal Shem Tov who lived a certain distance from the Baal Shem Tov and made his way there. One time he happened to bring his five-year-old, the disciple, his name was Shlomo Margolis, and his son's name was Shaul Margolis. So he brought his five-year-old son. Now, the Margolis family were known for their good voices. And at that time, he came for Purim. Yes, this is why it's a Purim story, yes. And he came to celebrate Purim with his rabbi. And at the Purim Suda, the big meal, so the Baal Shem Tov turned to Shlomo Margolis and said, "I understand your son has a great voice. Could he entertain us now by singing?" And indeed, he got up and he sang the song Shoshanas Yaakov, which we didn't play. We played a couple of weeks ago, Shoshanas Yaakov. And this is their very many different tunes. Some of them are like upbeat and lively, and some of them are like very pensive and like melodious. So this five-year-old kid had sang this melodious song. Everybody's crying, the whole thing. And the Baal Shem Tov blessed him. The next day, the Baal Shem Tov said, "I'm going on a trip, and I'd like for Shlomo and Shaul Margolis to come with me." Okay, so it's a big honor to go with the Rebbe. They had a small entourage, and they're in there in the carriage, and the carriage is going along. And suddenly they were driving past what in the stories is referred to as an inn, which is a euphemism for a bar. It was a tavern, okay? And this was a rowdy group of peasants singing in this bar. So Baal Shem Tov went in with his entourage. And finally, he actually quieted them down and spoke in, like, as one of the storytellers, as this person who redacted this story says, in very coarse Ukrainian vernacular, so the peasants could understand what he's talking about. He says, "Do you guys really want to hear what a good song is, a good singer?" So he says, "Okay, Shaul, sing the song Shoshanas Yaakov like you did before." And he sang it the same way, and he's just like the whole thing. He's just like this beautiful kid voice, and all the peasants are crying. And at the end of the song, there were actually three kids hanging out in the bar. Evidently, they didn't have, like, drinking age 18 at that time or 21. There's three kids in the bar. And he turned to the first kid, and he says, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Ivan." He said to the second kid, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Leonid." He said to the third kid, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Andre." Okay? So he said, Do you like the song that he just sang? These are little kids. He said, "Yeah, it was beautiful." He says, "Do you like Shaul?" They said, "Yeah, we like Shaul." He says, "Is Shaul your friend?" And he said, Yeah, Shaul's our friend. And he said, do you promise never to hurt Shaul ever? And they said, we swear. Okay. 2 decades go by. Shaul is now a grown man, and he's doing business. And he's doing actually quite well in business for a young man. And he's traveling from point A to point B. He had to go through the woods. And it was on Purim. And he was traveling back to be the Purim meal with his family. And he was mugged. Out of the forest, 3 robbers came. They tied him to a tree. They ransacked his pockets and his carriage. They took all of his money. And they said, now you got to, we have to kill you. You know, this is, otherwise you're going to tell the authorities we'll get caught. We're going to kill you. This happened quite often, unfortunately, in that part of the world. I'm assuming not just to Jews, but to anybody who got stopped by a bandit. So he said, if you don't mind, can I at least pray my prayers? He said, sure. He's tied them up. They're doing their things. They're counting out the money. So he's thinking now, after he said his final prayers and repented before God, knowing he's going to get killed, he reminded himself that it was Purim. And he knew what he would be doing if he was home. He would be singing this song, Shoshanis Yaakov. So he started singing it the same way like he sang it when he was 5 years old. He did the whole thing with his eyes closed. When he opened his eyes, he saw the 3 bandits crying. And he looked at them and he said, your name is Ivan, your name is Leonid, and your name is Andre. And he said, I'm Shaul Margolis, the one who sang this song 20-something years ago. And they couldn't believe it, and they were just like so besides themselves. They let him go, and they promised that they were never, ever going to be involved with thievery ever again. And the story goes, everybody lived happily ever after. Speaking of happily ever after, we hope you have a continued good Purim, Ad Lo Yada, drink responsibly. Eat, you're supposed to have the best meal you have to in the course of your year, supposed to be today. So go for it. Have a happy Purim. We'll see you again next week. Good girl, straight masterpiece, so fine in. Try to win, be the queen of my cities. Well,